The following program is an encore presentation edited for broadcast at this time. Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, 8th Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Mulvey reflects on issues and events facing Catholics and people of all faiths.
Good morning, South Texas, and welcome to Our Shepherd's View. I'm Barbara Little, here with Bishop Michael Mulvey on this sixth Sunday in Ordinary Time. Today, we will reflect on the Gospel from Matthew and continue our reflections of the Sermon on the Mount. Stay with us, and we'll be right back.
Get your green on at St. Patrick's School's 6th Annual Shamrock Shuffle 5K Run Walk and 1K Leprechaun Chase fundraising event. To help kick off the annual St. Paddy's Day Festival and to help share the message of faith and encourage healthy lifestyles. The date, Saturday, March 14th, and it begins at 601 North Water Street at 9 a.m. The 5K run walk will proceed through the scenic route of our beautiful Corpus Christi Bay. There'll be food trucks, bagpipes, Irish dancing, a costume contest, and much more. Children 8 and under will enjoy chasing the leprechaun to the pot of gold with a gold medal waiting for finishers. It'll be a great day of fun, fitness, and fellowship. For more information, including how to register to participate, call Lee Walsh at St. Patrick's School, 361-852-1211.
Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View. Good morning, Bishop. How are you this morning?
Good morning, Barbara. I'm doing very well. And you?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Good.
All right, today our gospel is from Matthew, so if we can prepare our hearts and minds to hear his word.
Right. And just to say, today's gospel is quite lengthy, but it has a lot of principles in it for living the Christian life. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law and the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. Amen, I say to you, until heaven and earth passes away, not the smallest letter nor the smallest part of a letter will pass from the law, until all things have taken place. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do so will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever obeys and teaches these commandments will be called greatest in the kingdom of heaven. I tell you, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. You have heard that it was said to your ancestors, 'You shall not kill, and whoever kills will be liable to judgment.' But I say to you, whoever is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. And whoever says to a brother, 'Raga,' will be answerable to the Sanhedrin. And whoever says, 'You fool,' will be liable to fiery Gehenna. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and there recall your brother has anything against you, leave your gift at the altar. Go first and be reconciled with your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Settle with your opponent quickly while on the way to court. Otherwise, your opponent will hand you over to the judge, and the judge will hand you over to the guard, and you will be thrown into prison. Amen, I say to you, you will not be released until you have paid the last penny. You have heard that it was said, 'You shall not commit adultery.' But I say to you, whoever looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one of your members than to have your whole body thrown into Gehenna. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one of your members than to have your whole body go into Gehenna. It was also said, 'Whoever divorces his wife must give her a bill of divorce.' But I say to you, whoever divorces his wife, unless the marriage is unlawful, causes her to commit adultery. And whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you have heard that it was said to your ancestors, do not take a false oath, but make good to the Lord with all you vow. But I say to you, do not swear at all, not by heaven, for it is God's throne, not by the earth, for it is God's footstool, nor by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great King. Do not swear by your head, for you cannot make a single hair white or black. Let your yes mean yes, and your no mean no. Anything more is from the evil one. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Well, it was a rather long gospel, but it does have a lot of principles that we can talk about today.
It certainly does, and some are very difficult. I mean, there's some things there that perhaps make us uncomfortable, make me uncomfortable too,
well,
when you kind of look at our own life in examination through the gospel.
Right. So Jesus is continuing to teach the disciples, but as it said in the very beginning of this, it said, do not think I've come to abolish the law or the prophets. I've come not to abolish, to fulfill them. So he's saying that he's not replacing the law. He's expanding
right.
it more, that his God's law is more important.
Right. And what is really Jesus is saying is that he really, I guess in our language, is taking it to another level.
Mm-hmm.
I think it'd be good to just to briefly say, what is the law? I mean, many
right.
of us would think, well, is it just the Ten Commandments? Or it could also refer, as it did at a certain time, to the Pentateuch, which is the first five books, the first five rolls of the Jewish scripture. In those first five books, it later meant not only the Ten Commandments, the Pentateuch, but also all the prophets. And then more toward Jesus's time, it also meant, besides the others, it also meant the writings of the scribes,
mm-hmm.
those who were the teachers of the law, would write commentaries on the law. So there was perhaps actually very few laws, you might say, in essence, but the scribal messages would take a principle and create more laws, like do not work on the Sabbath. Well, the question was, what is work? And so you have a whole list of things that are work.
So you they define it.
Define it. Couldn't
right.
carry a bucket of water or,
okay.
you know, whatever it might be. So Jesus is saying, really, he's not coming to destroy it, but to fulfill the dictates of the law. And one of the reasons that for that I think is very important, again, trying to go back to how this becomes relevant to us, is that it's one thing to fulfill the dictates of a law. In other words, I can follow the law, but I've followed the law for the law's sake and mm-hmm. maybe be able to check it off at the end of the day and say, well, I did what it said, and never go beyond that.
Right.
The fulfillment of the law has to be found in Jesus, in the sense that he's more than the law. He is the law of God itself. He's the love of God, and so we're looking at the law of God and the love of God here in many ways. So Jesus is asking us to go beyond just following certain precepts or certain dictates, and to really take on the mind and the heart of God, which is to put no limits
right.
on our selfless giving to God and to one another. So it's not a matter of destroying something, it's a matter of bringing it to its full expression.
As you mentioned earlier, not just coming to the end of the day and saying, well, I've done that, I can check that off my list, but to really examine it more fully and see how you can go
right.
expand it and have it more filled with love.
Right. And the other thing, you know, we always have to look at what is behind God's law. If we call it,
mm-hmm.
you know, God's law, it's his will. It's what he wants for us. And so God's will is active and alive, as God's word is active
right.
and alive. So it's something not for legalities or for following regulations to have that kind of reverence. But even Jesus said, it's not sacrifice I want, it's mercy. It's not just following some dictates, but love. So Jesus kind of takes it out of the realm of just a legality and mm-hmm. puts it into the realm of human nature, of really following the love of God and living the love of God in our daily life. So,
well, and you were talking about mercy. It goes back to a couple of weeks ago when we had the Beatitudes.
Right.
And,
sure.
And expanding
sure.
that.
Right. And you know, sometimes I think people say, well, I'll just follow, you know, Jesus and not the church, because the church is too legalistic. But, you know, you look at what human life is about. We all need objective truths. We all need objective laws in order to order our life and to order society. If you just think of our society, if we didn't have anyone to tell us, you know, you can't run this light, you've got to stop here, you've got to watch people in the crosswalk, I mean, we'd have chaos.
Definite chaos.
Yeah.
And we wouldn't get anywhere.
No. And so, you know, those objective laws, which are important for ordering society, but also for ourselves, moral laws. Otherwise, we wouldn't have those mandates or those guidelines. You might, they're more than guidelines, mm-hmm. it's an objective truth. But what comes from the scripture and come from the teaching of the church, the light of the Holy Spirit in the church, is to show us the way to live. So it's not a matter even in the church about legalism. Mm-hmm. Our legalities, it's about trying to give us that objective truth and so that we can follow the gospel, to follow the Beatitudes. So, you know, we can live by the Spirit, but we have to live also in the world, and that requires a certain structure of life.
This Sunday, there's going to be the opportunity. Not some of our listeners may not hear the longer version of the gospel. Mm-hmm. They might hear the shorter mm-hmm. Version of the gospel, and we may continue some of this after the break. But there were some names here right in the middle, whoever says to the brother Raga, mm-hmm. and then who is answerable to the, and I didn't know how to pronounce that word.
The Sanhedrin.
Sanhedrin. What is the Sanhedrin?
The Sanhedrin is the legal body, you know, of the Jewish community at that time. So when
it might have been the judge.
Right. It was kind of the questions were asked, and it was taken to them for clarification, for judgment. And, you know, remember, Jesus went before the Sanhedrin, you know, to kind of be judged. You know, is this man liable for the death penalty or whatever? So, yeah, it was a legal body to come together and pronounce judgments. So
Sanhedrin.
But that was all, you know, part of the system of the day. When there was a question, they could be taken before them.
Mm-hmm. So that was the legal.
The legality.
The legality.
Right.
The legal
right.
part of it.
Sure.
Okay.
Sure.
And then Gehenna.
Well, Gehenna is another word for what we call hell today. So it was the emptiness of life. So when after death, they went to a place of nothingness, which was the Gehenna. You know, the
right
or Sheol, I believe, was another word, which was if anyone's Jewish out there and knows better, it's not my expertise, but certainly it was the afterlife without God,
as we said, just nothingness,
right?
Nothingness. All right, well, thank you for sharing that, because those are words that I had not heard of before. We are going to take a short break, and we will be right back.
The Diocese of Corpus Christi Office of Vocations invites single Catholic men, ages 15 to 22, who are interested in exploring their calling in life, to join in an Andrew dinner. This term refers to the scriptures wherein Andrew sought out Peter and brought him to Jesus. The dinner is open to single Catholic men seeking God's will in their lives. The evening is a visit with Bishop Mulvey, other priests and seminarians in formation, and is a relaxed, no-pressure evening of discussion and dialogue about the life of a priest and a priestly vocation. The date for this Andrew dinner is Tuesday, February 25th, the day before Ash Wednesday, the traditional beginning of Lent. The time is 6 p.m., and the place is the St. Pius X Catholic Church Parish Hall, 5620 Gallagher Road. For more information, please contact Bob Cummings in the Diocese Office of Vocations, 361-693-6604.
Welcome back to our Shepherd's View. Well, Bishop, I read in this gospel there were really four examples that Jesus was talking about in his teaching with the disciples. He was talking about the prohibition of murder and then the prohibition of adultery. Also, he talked about divorce, and then he talked about taking of false oaths. I think if we look back when I was reading about the prohibition of murder and I was preparing for this, it said that he was really broadening the law to talk about anger. And of course, and it's in here, anger and name calling, not just killing somebody, but other things that can be very hurtful to people.
Sure. Well, of course, all four of those go back to the opening statement of that, I tell you that your righteousness must surpass that of the scribes and Pharisees. So their law, I mean, the law was you shall not kill. I mean, that's from the Ten Commandments. Mm-hmm. And whoever does kill is liable to judgment. But again, surpassing that, Jesus is saying, we got to go beyond that. Mm-hmm. You know, the great majority of people never kill anyone. So have you fulfilled the law? That's really the question.
Exactly.
Is that it?
Sure.
So is that how I live the rest of my life, just avoiding things? But Jesus, because he brings the life of God, brings the nature of love to us and himself for us in the gospel, says, but I say, don't even become angry with your brother. Even your anger will be liable to judgment, not just that you didn't kill or that if you did kill, but even being angry with a brother or sister. So I think that for me, I think we could pause a little bit on that, because I think anger is something that we all experience. Mm-hmm. And it's certainly, I think, a characteristic of our society today. There are a lot of angry people out there for whatever reason, maybe in some cases justified, maybe not. But I mean, I think there's different types of anger. There's quick anger,
right?
Which if you've never experienced it, then let me know. But I think we've all hit a moment where our anger just, you know, takes over in our.
And you say something that you wish you hadn't said.
Exactly. And so we react through that anger. But, you know, we also calm down. We use our head again. Mm-hmm. We're able to. And so I don't think Jesus is talking about that. Because even in the gospel, we see him in the temple and you see that anger kind of come up. So that's something that's human. That's a human response of our emotion. What he's talking about here, I think even more so, is a selfish anger. What do I mean by that? A selfish anger. That means it's an anger that is enduring. I'm angry. I want to be angry. I'm going to continue being angry. Nobody can stop me from being angry. And so it's a seething of this spirit in us that really is a crushing spirit. It leads to revenge. It leads to actions that we would certainly regret with time. It's selfish because it's self-centered. You know, I want to be angry. And that is what Jesus is really speaking of, because you bring that anger then with you in your relationships.
It destroys any relationships you would have.
Right. You bring it to work. Right. I mean, we've seen that. We perhaps have said that's an angry person in your demeanor. The body, you know, reacts, the mind reacts, the soul reacts. And so this is what Jesus is really focusing on, that we can't even lead to that kind of anger. He's not just talking about a quick emotion, but really one that would turn in on ourselves. And so that is what we have to avoid. And that is the more. Mm-hmm. That's surpassing the law in that one.
And even with the anger, when we look at what's going on in our world today, there's the bullying that goes on. You know, wouldn't that be part of it too, probably?
Right. Well, you know, so many of those things, and that's a good example with young people especially, but, you know, we look at the external action, and this is probably where I think we talked a few weeks ago about the compassion through the compassionate or the merciful, is seeing beyond that action and seeing there's something in that person's life that's causing that. Something is leading that person to really express the anger in action. And it's in bullying, name-calling, all sorts of things that have a seething revenge to it.
Right,
Right. So it does. It definitely goes past the murder.
Sure.
You know, and then, murder as one thing.
Exactly. And then, of course, Jesus came to bring us the relationship that exists in God, the Trinity. And so that's why the greatest commandment is to love your neighbor as yourself. So, when this takes over in a person's life, they can't go there. It's just impossible to love in the same nature as God loves us.
And forgiveness would be out of the question if you're angry.
Forgiveness is the greatest expression of that love, really. Right. And if you're angry, you can't do that. Yeah.
Can't do that either.
Exactly.
Well, and then talking about another one of his examples today, he talked about divorce. Right. So, you know, that would be if somebody has gone into a marriage and perhaps they were angry.
Sure.
And it's and made the marriage dissolve.
Yeah. It's such a delicate topic, and I know that perhaps people listening may have experienced the trauma of a divorce, mm-hmm. and so we're certainly respectful of that.
And the heartbreak.
However, at the same time, we cannot minimize the teaching, because it's the Word of God. And, you know, Jesus speaks to us in the Gospel about that, and I think it'd be better really to look at preparation for marriage, that we look at what do we bring to a marriage and what do we continue put into the marriage. So mm-hmm. it's what you invest in any relationship that keeps it together, keeps it strong. Marriage has to have the basis of, first of all, it's a free act. The three questions that are in the marriage rite for people in the church that are getting married as a sacrament. First and foremost, are you here freely? That is a simple question. I mean, you know, I've never had somebody say no.
Right.
We all say yes, but what does freedom mean? I mean, are you free as a person? What are those contingencies that are upon you? A past relationship, an anger with somebody, you know, the things that we bring with us that sometimes we're not even aware of can affect the relationship. And so, especially for those who might be preparing for marriage, I would say really, you know, it's an exciting time and you know, emotions are going high, but really we need to use our heads sometime and look at what are we bringing? And if it's the past, if it's things that are really that cause me not to be free in my decision, then to be honest with yourself and the other person, you need to look at that. The second one, of course, is the question and the condition of marriage is that it's permanent. We have to look at our life again. You know, our human development. We so much in working with priests, we have to look at their human development. Sometimes our spirit will just pray it away. That doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
We don't pray things away. We have to look at our fallen nature, its sinful nature. That prohibit us from making maybe permanent decisions. And so we have to develop that before we get into that final commitment of trust and a loving relationship. And then the third, of course, condition is that it's open to life, that it's not something that it's just going to be my wife and me or me and my husband and me. It's open to God's gift of life. And, of course, that gets into the whole question of contraceptives, et cetera, et cetera. But there's this openness of life that marriage is called to express that that is so important for a healthy, good marriage. It's not just two people saying, I do, and go live together. And then even after that, it's a daily quest to build relationships. Relationships have to be built daily, not just on one day saying I do. It's a daily feat.
In respect for one another.
Right. And, you know, so many programs that are so helpful to couples. Worldwide Marriage Encounter has done a wonderful ministry to our church and beyond the church, really helping couples come together and to maybe discover some points of relationship that they missed or they've never even thought of. So I would encourage people to contact the diocese, the website. There's information about worldwide marriage encounter weekends that are really wonderful experiences. There's Retrovi, which is helping marriages that are in trouble, that maybe didn't consider some of these things, and now they find themselves at a crossroad, and do we go forward, do we go backward?
Right.
That program, met a couple couple weeks ago that said what that had done to them. It really set them on the right path, mm-hmm. which they didn't have from the beginning. So these kind of programs are so, so wonderful in the church, and I would really, on this, in light of the gospel, which is asking us to go beyond just the selfish part of life mm-hmm. and move into really following the gospel, to check out some of these programs. And I would say to everyone, especially those who are married, to pray together. It's sometimes it's awkward, mm-hmm. but knowing how and learning how, and just being in the awkwardness, to at the end of a day just to be, invest 5 minutes, 10 minutes, to be there together and pray. Prayers that you know, prayers that you make up from the heart, but that reveals a lot and solidifies marriage.
And what a wonderful way to be a role model to others if they happen to know that you're praying every night.
Well,
yes.
And the security to children, too, to know that their parents love one another, they pray together and they pray for them. Mm-hmm. There's no greater security blanket to throw over
That's
a family
true.
Than praying together.
It's a beautiful thought. All right. If you could end our segment today with a prayer and a blessing for us, please.
I'd be happy to. Heavenly Father, thank you for all that you give us, especially the word of your Son, which calls us to new life. Bless all those who are married. Keep them close to you and close to one another. And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Thank you, Bishop, and thank you for listening to us this morning. Have a safe rest of your weekend and a blessed week.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of Corpus Christi. If you have questions for the Bishop, write to Our Shepherd's View, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi, 78407. Or we invite you to email your questions and comments to osv@klux.org. Our Shepherd's View is a production of CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.